The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
But I was like, oh, okay. And I was like eating, and I was like, I don't know this guy, but he doesn't look so good. And all of a sudden, he stands up, walks over to the bushes, just throws up in the bushes, and he comes back, and I'm like, don't know what to do.
What is proper? What would Miss Manners say to do in that situation?
Right? Like, you don't know this guy. So I was like, you okay? And he's like, yeah, I feel better. And I'm like, cool. And I just went back to eating my lunch because I just didn't know what to do. I was like, all right.
Pretty good range on that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So that's my story of how I met Kev.
2, 3, 4. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hey guys, I'm Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me. It's a podcast
about 30 Rock. And talking.
And Tina Fey.
We're excited that you are listening to us here today. Before we get started, just a couple of things. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, BoardwalkAudio.com, all the places where you want to find people. You can find us there, except sitting next to you, unless you're Kimmy, because I'm sitting next to you now. Find us those places at Talk30Rock to Me. And if you buy stuff on Amazon, it'd be cool if you used our link, boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me. Click support our artists and it'll take you to your regular looking Amazon page. And you can buy stuff and we get some money for it so that we can buy an H6. Because sometimes there are technical recording difficulties, as we have experienced, which we might talk about.
We should talk about them only because I'm realizing if we don't use it, we're going to have to reintroduce these lovely gentlemen that we have here as guests. So we're just going to reintroduce them. And then if we did that last week, that's fine. We wanted to remind you. So, but yeah, help us buy an H6.
Pretty please. So just we recorded an episode. We have three very, very funny gentlemen with us today to talk about this episode. We also had them last week, but we had some technical difficulties and we haven't decided what we're doing to fix that yet. So you might have already met them. You might already love them. If not, we have three people that you should get to know with us right now. We have the co-host from the show All the Time We Have. Yay. And we have Dr. Ron Coleman. We have Jonathan Bacon-Lew.
Hello.
He is a doctor. I'm kidding. I knew that.
And we have Kevin Flessing here. Hi, guys.
Hey, great to be back or be here for the first time.
whichever it is.
Depending on what it is.
I just want to say, sports. Dr. Ron, I'm so sorry. I thought you were joking when you said I like to go by doctor. And then I remembered later we were discussing your PhD. So you are actually a doctor.
I am.
I'm a really disrespectful person. I'm sorry.
But I actually don't go by it. It's weird because once you get a doctorate you tend to work with people who are all also doctors,
and so
it would turn
special
into that like Spies Like Us thing, if like doctor
that's literally the scene that I see every time you go to work. When you see everybody, you're just like doctor.
That's like
doctor.
The first half hour at work every day it's just
doctor all doctor.
Because everyone's doctor, got a doctorate doctor. So it's
isn't that a song, doctor.
I don't know.
No, I thought that was a song. Isn't that a song, Doctor?
Give me the news.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yep. Good. I'm happy when I'm not crazy.
It sounds really cheery for how upsetting that sentence is.
Give me the news. I'm pregnant. Like, that should be the, like, I'm not pregnant.
I actually think the next line is, I've got a bad case of loving you is the next case.
So. Okay, weird. But, all right. This is taking a turn. Okay.
But I'm not that kind of doctor, so.
I'm trying to think. So, let's assume last week went well. So we know how you guys met and loved and fell in love with 30 Rock.
Okay.
All right.
Let's assume that. We can always insert it in if we need to, because that part worked.
That part kind of worked. So, guys, this is what I'd love to hear from you. First of all, tell us a little bit about your podcast, what you guys do, what it's about, and then I have one more question for you.
So our podcast is called All the Time We Have, and it's based on the idea that we set three topics to begin with, and we'll have a variable amount of time. So we start with 20 minutes, and then we roll 2d20 because we're nerds. And then after rolling 2d20, we can have anywhere between 22 minutes and an hour. And
I love that concept so much.
It's a fun concept to have as a show, because sometimes we'll have topics and we'll be kind of hoping for like one size number and we get the opposite size. And so you're like, oh, now we have these three really complex topics and only 27 minutes to talk about it. Or
we have half an hour or a full hour to talk about copyright law. And that becomes kind of...
Although we did not have that long for copyright law.
No, we didn't. But that could have been a possibility.
Much to your chagrin, right, Kevin?
it would have been interesting if it was longer.
But, it's a fun thing. And so we have a different link show every week. And it's kind of cool because we don't know how long it's going to be until showtime. So there's not like you can prep for short or long. You just have to try and adapt, and the different segments will be different lengths. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's fun because we all have known each other for a really long time. So it's kind of like just hanging out with some people, having a conversation, and we like it to be kind of fun for people to listen to our conversations. That's what we do.
Yeah. And do you feel like for Kimmy and me, when we started this podcast, we're really just recording conversations that we would have had anyway. Right. And is that how it is for you? Like, I'm
to the deep chagrin of our listeners sometimes.
Sorry, y'all. But I'm curious if you feel that same way too. Granted, your conversations are a little bit more intentional. Like, we're going to talk about this, but are they have you had any topics that you're like, dang, we've never even thought about talking about this together?
I don't. Sometimes I think they are topics that interest us to begin with. So that kind of helps. And so I think we wouldn't be as intentional about like some of the thoughts that we are doing. Like for instance, we talk about the CW superhero shows a lot. and Ron doesn't watch those. So it ends up being kind of like, it would definitely be a conversation that Kevin and I would have. But between the three of us, it becomes a little more interesting. One of our very first topics that we talked about really early on our show was specifically Ron's work on bringing back the northern white rhino from extinction, which Kevin and I didn't know that's what he did for his work. so like that was helpful. Like, but yeah, so they're definitely conversations that probably could happen, but they're more intentional.
I feel we talk about on the show some of my stuff more than we would, you know, because I bring in a lot of science articles, and because I work in the field, we'll have, you know, some news story that hits that's often related to something I've worked on. And so it's just not the kind of thing I would bring up in conversation. You know,
so it's
more
your
likely
way of forcing your friends to find out more about what you did.
Yes. and I think it gives our podcast a little bit different flavor, that we can have some science and nerd stuff. And
I just want to say, Dr. Ron, you're a hero. We glanced over, you know, saving the white rhino very softly.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
dope. That's dope. That's all. That's all I have to say. How do I comment on that? I'm a TV nerd, but like, this is great.
Yeah.
We try and save TV shows. You get to save animals.
So we're pretty much the same.
Yeah. We're all saviors, heroes.
We're trying to save a majestic creature. We're trying to save a kind of successful NBC sitcom.
Yeah, I mean,
the good death it already had.
Everyone has their own cross to bear. You know, it's just a, you know, I'm not here to judge yours.
Awesome. Cool.
Then I wanted to know, because I think it's been very clear that Kelsey and I are TV nerds, pop culture nerds. But I wouldn't even say pop, because it's very specific pop culture. We're TV nerds. I'm an old movie nerd. She's a band nerd. This is the way we're nerdy. I want to hear from you three gentlemen. How are you? What are you guys nerds? Like, I can already guess, Dr. I'm going to call you Dr. Ron this whole time, by the way.
That's a little bit awesome.
Dr. Ron, I know you're clearly a science nerd, but there's probably more nerdiness than that. I've heard that you guys discuss Joss Whedon. What kind of nerds are you? Walk me through this. Kevin, take it away.
Okay. Well, I'd have to say right up at the top would be Star Wars nerd. Then science fiction, comic books.
Then Star Wars.
Then
again.
Yes, Star Wars again. A couple more times. Because they did get rid of their old expanded universe canon. So I was pretty upset about that.
This again.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. If you ever want to just watch Kevin, like it's like a circus act, break out Star Wars Trivial Pursuit because he just wins in one turn. And so it's like,
you don't get to go.
You just watch Kevin go around the board and
so
collect
you don't
all the
really
pieces.
Play.
Yeah, he's just watching Kevin answer
Nobody
questions.
Plays more than once with me.
He's like, you guys want to play Star Wars Trivial Pursuit? No, Kevin. He's like, who was the second unit director? And you're like, Kevin's like, oh, I know that. Why do you know that? I bet you people who made the movie don't know that.
Right.
Why do you know so much about Star Wars?
But. I think that a lot about 30 Rock, honestly. I'm like, dang, we might know more about, not everybody, obviously, but I feel like we might know a lot more about parts of it. Than
like
everyone gives me a very hard time about it, so yes, I think we do.
Kind of like the Galaxy Quest thing where they're like, well, in episode 7, you know, you feel like if you went to Tina Fey and you're like, you know, I feel like in season 3, episode 4, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I moved
on.
That
joke, remember?
Isn't that inconsistent with what you said in season 4? And she's like,
does Jenna have a sister?
That's our real question. That is our question. John, what about you?
I think, yeah, Star Wars is up there, not quite as much as Kevin, but I enjoy it. I'm a big sci-fi tech nerd, I guess you would go into saying. I love everything techie and toys and all that wonderful stuff. Big on sci-fi stuff. I consume audiobooks faster than I know how to talk about. That's pretty much where I sit. A big comic book, especially comic book TV or movies. That's, yeah.
And then I'm I'd say, obviously, science-y stuff, and then sci-fi. I was a real big Star Trek The Next Generation fan. Recently gotten into Voyager, but kind of it's on BBC America all the time. Except now I have a job, so I don't get to watch. Man, having a job is hard.
Paycheck, worst.
Yeah.
They can buy all that sweet, sweet gear.
Yeah.
Stuff?
Gear?
Figures? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
I'm really trying.
Yeah, it's rough. I'd gotten used to having a nap after lunch every day. And now I'm like, what? There's no nap time? This job is hard. But I've gotten a lot more into comics in the last bunch of years because we've been going to Comic-Con for 10 years now or something, and I just sort of got into, actually I really like a lot of the Joss Whedon comics that kind of extended some of the stories past the show. So Firefly, and they did a Buffy season 8, and then they had Angel, and then there was a comic book series about Faith and Spike, I think.
Yeah.
And so there were all kinds of like really cool other stories. So I kind of like a lot of that Dark Horse comic stuff, and liked a lot of IDW. Been hanging out with those guys down in San Diego quite a bit lately.
IDW, what?
IDW Comics.
Oh, got it.
They do the Star Trek.
But they also do stuff like Gem in the Holograms.
He's
and
a Gem
My
in
Little
the Holograms.
Ponies and stuff like that.
And they do like weird crossover stuff like Doctor Who and Star Trek, like where Doctor Who, like the TARDIS, like lands on the bridge of the Enterprise, and the Cybermen and Borg have teamed up or stuff like that.
That's horrifying.
So if there would
that's horrifying.
If there would be a 30 Rock comic book, it would come from IDW.
Yes, they're the ones who would do it.
What crossover do we want? Oh my gosh, I really this is what I want. I really want the SETI group and Community to go do a tour of 30 Rock with Kenneth.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I want that Jeff Winger to meet Jack Donaghy so badly.
That would be up there.
Because they would hate love each other, I feel like. Yeah.
I think scenario, they would hire Jeff Winger as their lawyer, but like not as like an official lawyer, like an underhanded lawyer somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other one. I really want Leslie Knope and Jack Donaghy to have like a face-off. Look at Kelsey's mind just got blown. I want it so much because I want small town folksy liberalism to meet big city corporate capitalistic republicanism. I want it so much.
That would be a little bit beautiful.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that.
I'm trying to. I'm going through like my NBC.
IDW,
band.
Call me.
We have ideas. Yeah. Dang. Okay, that's good to know. We need to make friends over there.
Anything with Lizzie Nope. I mean that.
I just really want to believe that NBC sitcom world is actually like a connected universe in a Quentin Tarantino style way.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm working on the infograph. We'll get there.
I expected, and this is just me being weird, that either John or Kevin would have said Excel. And I only say that because, number one, I work with them and they're in accounting. But there was a former employee who I'm also friends with who I might have helped at one point with a dating app like profile. And on the profile, I asked him, like, what are you most passionate about? And he put Excel. And I was like, oh, honey, not all girls are going to find that as a good thing. Like, let's make this a little bit different. It was one of my favorite things.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm very, very, very proud of my Excel prowess. But yeah, I don't generally put that on my front street, so to speak. But yeah.
Don't get me started about VLOOKUP. Because, I mean, the utility of that function. And there's also HLOOKUP, but you know, that's a whole different thing. But
start an Excel podcast.
Yeah.
Guys, we need to move on.
Hey,
I got lost, and I'm the host.
I opened up that workbook.
Oh, this is a TV show we're talking about, huh? TV.
Kelsey, I think it's time that we do a 30-30.
We can control this a lot more by sharing a mic. You go, me go. So today's 33rd I want to talk about is The Post, the new movie that came out a couple of weeks ago at this point with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks about the New York Times and Washington Post and classified documents from the Vietnam War. And it's just so good. And it's a 30-30 because Tom Hanks is in a scene of 30 Rock, and there's also.
It's also 30-30 because David Cross is in Kimmy Schmidt, which is a Tina Fey show made after 30 Rock.
I was sitting in the movie theater and I was watching and I texted Kimmy and I can't remember what I think I texted you saying, I think something about Bradley Whitford. Oh, I said David Cross is almost unrecognizable. And then a second later I was like, oh my gosh, and Bradley Whitford. She's like, are you watching it now? Yes, I'm in the theater right now. Have any of you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it.
Go see The Post. It's your duty as an American to see The Post. Right. To see Meryl Streep in another tour de force role. You men do not look excited enough about Meryl Streep.
I'm looking it up on IMDb right now to see like what it's about.
It's Steven Spielberg, Meryl Streep, and Tom Hanks, plus Bradley Whitford, Bob Odenkirk, David Cross, and just it's
yes, it looks awesome.
So it's like a Mr.
Done.
Show reunion.
Yeah.
Weirdly, yes. That part's a little distracting.
I made a comment that it reminds me of the he's just not that into Valentine's Day thing where it takes all these other celebrities that sprinkle in with their own storylines. It's the non-chick flick version of that, I feel like, a little bit.
It's just a Steven Spielberg cast. It's Steven Spielberg being like, ooh, I found a script. We're going to film this in 2 months. Who wants to be in this?
Yeah.
And everyone said me.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we could put you all in that. That's that works.
Yeah. And it's just it's really, 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 really good. I did like I saw it with one of my friends who's she's either 11 or 12. And it was just really because Kimmy texted me while I was in the theater and commented how it's it's like subtly feminist. I think you said you made a comment like. And I was like, all right, cool. So I'm watching it. And afterwards, it was kind of a fun little learning moment because I was talking with Rebecca in the car afterwards. And we were talking it through and I was saying what Kimmy had said. And she was like, well, I didn't notice any like sexism in there or like feminist things. And I was like, really? And she's like, it was a learning moment where, like I said, she's 11 or 12. I'm going to shoot myself. I'm pretty sure she's 12. And she was like, well, nobody said you can't do that. You're a woman. And I'm like, oh, we're going to learn about the subtleness of it.
We're going to learn about nonverbal cues, ladies and gentlemen.
Too soon. it's never too soon for that. Sorry. But it was just kind of. And so then I was pointing out certain instances in the movie. Like, well, remember when this happened and that happened? And she afterwards was like, oh, yeah. Like it was a very cool learning moment. I thought that it was a great movie and to talk about that.
Did you point out the fact that women were always on stairs?
No.
Women were always on. Is it terrible? I'm like, bitches always be on stairs. No, they always put women on stairs. And there's always these moments where Meryl is climbing up these stairs, and there's always like there's scenes where the secretaries are waiting on the stairs for the bosses, or the women are on the stairs of the Supreme Court, and it's this beautiful image of like this of this like these steps women were taking, and about the steps that she was being encouraged to take to be the first female CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Wow.
I clearly don't care about this movie at all. Didn't move me. Wasn't super influential. So just send her to me, and I will school her in feminism and the Post.
She's learning. It was.
I'm not knocking her. She's 11. I was an anti-feminist at 11, so it's fine.
But not a lot about like ADA accessibility. I mean, like
Dr. Ron. Damn it. I'm done. Goodbye. I finished. You won. You won this podcast.
So go see the Post.
Okay, wait. Okay. Yeah. So we go through this, and it's a great movie, and I'm all on board. I want to go see it now. But what rubs me about your story is you were texting inside of a movie theater.
It was one of those things where I'm like, I shouldn't do this, but I will forget to tell Kimmy afterwards. So I was definitely, I bring blankets in with me when I go to the movies.
Oh, okay.
If that helps at all. And I sent the first one from my phone. The rest of them I sent from my watch, if that also helps. Texting on an Apple Watch is a pain in the butt. So I struggled.
Kelsey's a modern woman, guys.
Yep. I would have been on stairs in that movie.
She's in Orange County, and they don't shoot you in Orange County for texting the movie theater, unlike Los Angeles. So
that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, I feel the need to mansplain to you why it's not good to text inside movie theaters, but maybe we don't need to do that.
I mean, the M&Ms tell you every single time.
They do. They're texting.
Damn it, Kevin, coming in for the win. Sorry, Dr. Ron, you might have just been unseated.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's not safe to text while going upstairs either. So, you know, like, you know, you just
that's what we've got Siri for now.
All right.
Oh,
so,
man.
So what's this 30 Rock thing?
Right. 30 Rock and stairs. All right, today's episode that we are going to talk about is Season 4, Episode 12, Verna. Air date was February 4th, 2010. I think we're like almost on schedule with air dates and when things are being released at this point. Almost. Director was Don Scardino and writer was Ron Wiener. Both of them have been around for quite a while at this point. I'm also now seeing that I got very lazy writing my recap. I ended with dot, dot, dot. So my recap that I wrote is Liz and Frank are in a battle to see who can kick their unhealthy habit, and it reveals some unexpected things. Jenna's mom pops into town and Jack gets involved to see dot, dot, dot. You want to end that for me, Kimmy?
No, I want to know.
My kneecap.
So, guys, I'm in a position right now where I can see Kelsey's notes. So, Jenna's mom, Jack's involved to see if she is actually a good mom. Blah blah blah. Who cares? Kelsey, the first thing I wrote about was meat cat. The first thing Kelsey wrote about is M-E-E, meat cat. Does Kelsey not know that it's meat cat?
I immediately change it two lines down. This was like 2 a.m.
I also did this really late at night, so my notes are terrible, but I just saw meat cat! Exclamation point. And I just felt like y'all should know that was happening. Yeah.
I mean, how big of a 30 Rock fan can you really be if you don't have autocorrect to meat cat?
Exactly. Her phone wasn't ready to be like, oh, do you mean meat cat? Kelsey, we're gonna have to work on this.
Yep, this is what I get for sitting next to Kimmy. I don't remember the last time we sat next to each other and you could see my notes. Actually, it was our very first episode because it was the hot dog justice.
I'll give you that.
Okay, fair enough. Her Kimmy's third line on hers is Lutz is gay with 3 Y's for the record.
What cares about those firefighters so much?
But I definitely read that in the same tone of voice that Liz said Randy's gay, everyone, from a couple of episodes ago. Anyway, now that you can read into Kimmy's in my brain, let's talk about
cheesy blasters.
This cheesy blasters. Yeah, that opening scene has so much going on. That we have Jack is holding Lizzie's hand, which you have never heard Jack Donaghy call her Liz, let alone Lizzie. It's normally Lemon.
Right.
Tracy is now a doctor. Dr. Ron, you got some competition. Yeah,
pretty easy. anyone can do it.
Kenneth is dressed as a woman, as a nurse.
That man wears mascara very well. Yeah. Don't you agree?
That was like when Johnny Depp in Pirates with the eyeliner. We were like, interesting. Kimmy's not having it. And then when the thing is delivered from her, it is a cartoon meat cat. And then she wakes up with a cheesy blaster remnant stuck to her face, which is borderline an NBC brand joke because of the episode where Britta has mustard on her face. Not really, but kind of sort of could be. And then she just says, I gotta eat better. Yeah, that's just like that little opening scene, which is really funny. And then you get Pete. His kid drew on his head.
Yes.
And this is not NBC brand joke, but the Kenneth Pete time reminds, because I was just rewatching Gilmore Girls. There's an episode where Zach is kind of infringing on Luke's time at the beginning when he's in the diner, and it just made me think of that. Yep. So that's what's happening at the very, very beginning. Except then Jenna's freaking out because security has called up and Verna is there, her mother, and she was trying to use a prescription Oxycontin bottle as ID.
And I like that. Like the next thing she says about her is that she said, I had her thrown out of the building, and now she's sitting on the curb, chain smoking, waiting for me to come out like the day I was born.
So good. So good. And to her, I'm just a gorgeous, naturally blonde ATM. Okay, Jenna. Okay. And then the opening scene just ends with Liz and then Kenneth joining in, singing a song about a frown in your pocket.
Tie it to a rocket. Never mind.
Shoot it to the moon. You'll be feeling better soon. Don't go to bed with a frown. This show has some of the best little songs. There's I'm a kidney. I'm sure
that's not a real song, right?
I don't think so. Like I'm pretty sure it's a Jeff Richmond original. I would like to state that I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Right? Yeah?
I'm a kidney. The other kidney singing now.
So good. It's so good.
I was actually I don't even know the Cheesy Blaster song, but it's, you take a hot.
Crap.
Put it in a pizza. You got Cheesy Blasters. That's what I was thinking.
And then all the kids say, thanks, me cat.
And then cat flies away on a skateboard.
Yeah. Nice. I'm like, why didn't I write that down when we did season 4, episode 1 from season 4? yes. So this is not the first time that we've heard about Meat Cat. It is the first time we've seen Meat Cat, though, because Meat Cat is a cartoon cat. All right. So let's talk about, do you want to talk about the Liz and Frank storylines first? Yeah. Okay, so Liz and Frank have some unhealthy habits in their lives. Frank's unhealthy habit, one of them, the one we're talking about today, is smoking cigarettes that he does when he's stressed. And Liz's is her obsession with junk food is really what it comes down to. Unhealthy food, just junk food. But this all kind of comes together because Frank's, what was the Sith Lord cloak?
Got too close to my mom's Italian Jesus
shrine to Italian Jesus, and the candle started a fire. So because of that, he needs a place to stay, and Liz has an apartment upstairs that is unoccupied. So hey, let's go ahead and let Frank move in. Not let, she was kind of forced into it. But this is where we do get the moment where he's talking about the house is on fire, and Lutz asks, were the firemen strong? Were any of them the ones from the calendar? So, I mean, should we have a discussion?
I just think it's worth noting that Lutz's sexuality is deeply complex, and he doesn't understand it. We never will, and I think that's just very entertaining. That's all.
Yeah, because like we've had him talk about the Halloween party, I think, with gay guys there. But then we get the thing later on where he has a fake girlfriend because he has the website set up for it, hashtag proof. Or backslash proof or whatever it is. So Lutz is an evolving character. He's figuring himself out is what it kind of sounds like. So then Liz finds Frank smoking upstairs and she calls him out, and then he calls her out on eating the gross junk food. What does the bag say? Manufactured in a... Do you have it written down?
I do. Manufactured in a facility that also processes food.
So gross. And so they have got this bet going on now. Like, I can last longer not eating gross food than you can not smoking, which sounds all fine and dandy until the next morning Liz finds the pack of cigarettes missing some cigarettes, and it was full the night before. And her way of catching this situation was to set up a camera in the living room, or in Frank's room, I guess. And she caught some stuff on there. Have you? And you guys have cameras in your house?
I have a baby monitor, and that's pretty much it. And thankfully, it's not recorded to anything. But, yeah, that's the only camera I have inside my house.
Well, that you put there.
That's true.
What?
That's true. The baby monitor in it itself is creepy because I'll be in there, and I'll be, like, putting clothes away or something like that, and I'll say something to my son, and my wife hears it in the other room, which is, like, I mean, not that I'm saying anything bad about her, but yeah, it's creepy that she'll be like,
"Mama's the worst, isn't she?"
Yeah,
let's say mean things about Mama right now.
But it's funny because she'll be like, "Oh, I didn't know that our son knew how to spell blah 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 or whatever," and I'm like, "Yeah, how did you know that?"
You know what's creepy in a baby monitor sort of way is I think Alexa and all those things that people have in their houses, mm-hmm. I think that's getting creepy. And people are buying those to have Amazon spy on you. I don't know that.
My Alexa the other morning at 2:00 in the morning, I was dead asleep. It said, "Cannot connect to the internet." I'm like, "Why are you trying to connect to that?" I unplugged it and moved it away. I'm like, "That is not okay. I don't know what was happening here." Alexas are really funny, though, because I was at a friend's house and I was talking about how, I get home one night and I go, "Hey, Alexa, set alarm for 7:45 a.m. And I didn't realize they had an Alexa in their house. And Alexa was all, "Alarm set for 7:45 a.m. I'm like, "Sorry, I didn't mean to do that."
Well, to get ahead of the story a little bit, maybe you were actually sleep ordering.
Right. That is fair. I also am like, Postmates can't come and deliver if you feel healthy. Sorry.
Or you can't order stuff on Amazon. That's actually how we find out that you're actually ordering printers and stuff.
I'm sleep ordering printers and billing to our association. So you guys are fine. It's great.
What? I don't even want to ask it. I love this sequence with Liz and with Frank running around and just Liz just eating the giant Chuck style cheese balls, which is great. Very much what Chuck would eat constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, road trips. We always get those when we go on giant road trips.
That's so funny to me. Those things are disgusting, but they're delicious.
And then we find out what happened to the cigarettes.
It's so fun. I just love how much she lets herself be the butt of the joke in this, and I love how disgusting she lets herself be.
And the fact that she sleep dials for pizza to be delivered, which I think is awesome.
And, this isn't the first time. Yeah. Because she doesn't make any sense, but the pizza place knew who it was and where to bring the pizza.
They were comfortable.
She was just
and they knew to bring it. And then the way she eats it, she does that. Remember the episode where she tries to shotgun the pizza? Yeah. She starts doing that. She folds it.
She's unhinging her jaw.
It's so insane to me. I love this moment. And then Frank with his very strange relationships with cleaning ladies.
Yes.
Dear Lord.
We learned in the last episode in Winter Madness, he had a thing with, there was something else, the cleaning ladies there too. So it's not just like New York cleaning ladies. He had
questions. The Boston ones.
He was searching for the Boston cleaning ladies too last episode.
Oh, he loves a cleaning lady and they love him.
Yeah.
But just the way her I'm mama now. It's just oh God.
I know we end up eventually meeting Frank's mom, but we don't know what Frank's mom does. I would be willing to bet money that she's a cleaning lady.
We've already met her right now at this point. It's Patty LuPone. Remember Harry and the Hendersons.
I couldn't remember when Harry and the Hendersons was. You're right. Do we know what her... I'd be willing to bet that she was a cleaning lady.
I have a feeling she cleans up after Frank.
Yes.
That's what I have a feeling. I'm not sure I know that.
Fair enough. So that all comes to fruition and things have been discovered and that's how the storyline ends, right?
There is one thing I noticed in this storyline. We get an early prototype for Blue Apron where Liz is having her meals delivered. Oh. The really healthy meals.
New food.
Exactly. That cracked me up. I was like, ooh. Or they have ones where they're now pre-made too. I don't know. I was just like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
She got autumn tempeh risotto with salmon rubbed streusel chunks. And I just love watching her gag through saying that sentence.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. It honestly sounds like one of our Blue Apron commercials for our podcast.
Exactly.
What is autumn tempeh, though? I don't know what the autumn would be in regards to food. I know it's a season, but...
Maybe autumn, winter vegetables or whatever.
Oh, maybe.
Squashes, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Gourds.
Gourds. That's true.
Oh, I'm also a food nerd, I guess.
Adding to Jonathan's list. Okay, but I think isn't that just kind of how that storyline ends? Does it end with them? No, it doesn't end with anything.
I think it ends with them deciding that it's okay for them to lean on their crutches of what they need when they're stressed out.
Yeah.
I think we also just learned that Pete is so sad.
Pete is very sad. Yeah.
Him with the tack, in his neck, which the thing that cracked me up, and this is weird, in ASL and sign language, the sign for stuck is you make your finger V and you literally stick your neck. And so that just made me think that, it's stuck in his neck and that's a sign for stuck. And that's some ASL nerdiness for you.
I also think we learned that night spanks are a thing.
Night spanks.
It sounds like a horrible thing. It sounds awful. Spanks are so uncomfortable. So that was delightful.
Only Liz.
And, yeah, that she's,
and that Lutz knew what they were, too.
Yeah,
they're called night spanks.
But like, she's like weirdly vain enough that she has to wear something to make her look good while she's going to bed.
I would imagine for her, it's not a vain thing. There's got to be something like she's got a slice of pizza in there and it's like holding it warm to her body or something. Like, or, I don't think because Jenna wearing them to sleep, I would agree, vain. Yeah. Liz, though, I don't think that it's
or it's like a medical thing that she needs.
So, yeah, it's like she lost her scoliosis brace and so she's like, I'm just gonna wear night spanks. It's like something, there's something weird about it for Liz, but yeah. That's Liz and them for you. There was, I didn't know, earlier Frank makes some comment about Liz wearing microwavable socks and the footage of it. I always just call those fuzzy socks. And are you allowed to put those in the microwave? I didn't know that was a thing, but my mind has been blown because I love warm fuzzy socks.
Well, are you gonna test this? Because I know you have socks like that, Kelsey.
I have like 7 socks like that. Those are socks you can't actually wear out though because they just slide down your foot.
Right.
They're great for walking around the house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would be worried about like them melting in the microwave.
Yeah. Like, you know how sometimes there's random things that have unexpected little pieces of, like, specks of plastic in them?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe the elastic inside
you
the socks.
You could probably also make socks that had some kind of gel inserts that you could then microwave, and then it would keep, like, your feet warm.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Patent pending.
Patent pending.
That's true, but
lawyer up.
Just because we're talking about this, like if you would only want to put the gel on the top of the socks, right? Because if you put it on the bottom, you'd be walking on the gel, and then that would be a whole other problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody send us some microwavable socks, please. So I think that kind of does it for the Frank Liz stuff. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty straightforward plot. I think it's the goal is to see Liz eat cigarettes, and I got what I wanted. So
absolutely.
Did anybody know that there was the where Liz is just appalled that Frank smokes, and she makes a reference to a Different Strokes episode about Dudley's dad. I've never watched Different Strokes. Does anybody know what that is about?
He makes Kenneth makes a reference to the same episode at the end too.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he says then Dudley's dad went outside. I think it's the thing where he. He goes outside in the rain to smoke or something, and they're like, oh, you're so desperate to smoke. I don't know.
I missed that part. I wrote about a bunch of the stuff that he said at the end. I missed that part of it. Interesting. Huh. But nobody's watched Different Strokes?
Not in a while.
Not, yeah. not something that I've gone back to binge.
Good. Fun theme song, but yeah, other than that.
All right, so let's talk about Jenna and Verna.
Oh, one other thing on the Frank line, it went and she says, "Oh, it wasn't an accident. The fire wasn't an accident." And he says, "I know. I just wanted control." And then she's like, "No, it brought us together, so we'd both overcome our things." But it just goes on. Doesn't at all acknowledge the fact that he says it was basically arson on of his own place.
I love it so much, particularly because Liz has already gone through that cycle with arson. So
right, that's what I was thinking.
So
I'm like,
makes
oh
sense.
Yeah,
she's had
this issue with fire before. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Okay, so that's my only other note on that section.
You good? You're just resting on my shoulder. Cool. Verna, Jenna's mother is in town.
Who is this actress? I didn't look her up. I'm going to look her up.
I did.
Jan Hooks?
Yeah, Jan. I just looked her up on my. She's up right now. Jan Hooks is better remembered for her 5-year run on Saturday Night Live. She was on SNL. She was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. She was in an episode of The Cleveland. I didn't know Verna was only on 2 episodes of 30 Rock. She was in some Simpsons episodes. Third Rock from the Sun. She was on there for 16 episodes. And then, Saturday Night Live. She was on 100 different episodes. She's in Coneheads. Designing Women. That's funny. Because in season 1, Liz watches Designing Women. And I didn't know that was a real TV show. And she was actually in Designing Women. I like that.
What was her name one more time?
Jan Hooks.
Jan Hooks. And she was in a lot of... That's interesting. But yep, that's Jan. I'm very surprised that Verna was only in 2 episodes of 30 Rock. I always thought it was way more than that.
Has she already been on the other one?
No, that'll be the Mother's Day episode that'll come in a couple of weeks where it has all of their mothers on it, which is kind of fun. But Interesting. Yeah, so we've heard horror stories of Verna, though, already, just of Jenna's life growing up and all this, and this has the flashback of standing closer to the gator. And we just know that she's not the greatest mom, so we already know that her showing up is probably not the best idea. And I just love that this is Jack's opportunity to take everything that he's learned from Colleen being his mother and kind of sharing his wisdom with somebody else with mother problems.
I love the fact that he has a PowerPoint presentation of how to say no to your mom. Like on the ready. Like, he's just like, here it is. And he's got it, like, all pulled up.
Yeah, so say no, talk low, and let her go. Oh,
is this the fight?
Right. I'm talking lower. Yeah, so then Jenna and Verna go to dinner, and she is pleasantly and confusedly kind of surprised that instead of Verna asking for money, she's getting money back. And then Verna goes to leave, and Jenna's all stand closer to the gator because she's seen that her mother has changed. And I'm curious if Verna was like, what the hell are you talking about, gator? Like, that was clearly that was a very profound moment in Jenna's memory. But for Verna.
But Verna remembered very much the song. Also, Verna is not, this is, I'm just remembering, Verna is a name we get in The Rural Juror, remember? Verna, it's one of the names, maybe it was Werner, not Verna, but still, I just like that we get another Verna.
I like that. Yeah, no, that's a good point. That, for all we know, it was actually what she said in The Rural Juror, it's just kind of hard to understand. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that it is still the same thing. That was a good callback there. Okay, the songs, though, that Verna and Jenna sing, and then later on, they talk about singing a song in the future.
Yes.
This just reminds me of Arrested Development when they're singing Afternoon Delight.
Afternoon Delight.
Yeah.
This is my niece. But in Arrested Development, there was like the understanding mid-song what was going on.
Realizing.
And like, oh my gosh, where are, you know, like, I've only listened to the chorus of this song.
That's, I love, so like, Jenna is... Her mom's there. It's awesome. Verna has to leave. Jenna's sad. It's her birthday, blah, blah. Verna knows. Throwing a surprise party, all that good stuff. And then she gets there and has this moment of, will you sing with me? And I just love when they're singing the song and Liz is like, to turn into Jack, why aren't you moved by this? And his response is, because I'm listening to the words.
Yeah, we should we should mention it's a Do It To Me One More Time.
Yeah, Do It To Me One More Time. And then what's the song they're going to sing in the future? I'll make love to you.
Yeah. Like, for not, orphans.
Yeah, that is not the song you sing.
Very reminiscent of Afternoon Delight and Arrested Development. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
I think it's funny that she had a mic in her purse.
I love that. That's so Jenna. I remember the first time seeing that years ago, like, just it killed me. Because I'm like, of course she has a mic in there.
Of course.
And then me being the nerd going, but like, is it connected to the sound system? Are you like, but just appreciating that, of course, Jenna travels with her own mic.
Hands off her little clutch. She pulls.
Right, instantly. Like, well, it, like, literally. And I guess there's just some people that you know is going to have stuff. Like, I was with friends last night. At one point, my friend had his iPhone charging cable but didn't have a brick. And he's like, Kelsey, do you have a charging thing? And I pull up my little bag in there that has 3 different charging bricks. And I'm like, I've got the iPad one and I've got 2 of the other ones. Which one do you need? And he's like, I'll just take the regular one. Thank you. Like, you just gotta, I'm like a Boy Scout of iPhone chargers, and Jenna's the Boy Scout of, are Girl Scouts prepared too? I guess I should say Girl Scouts. I was neither. It's fine. Anyways, so, and then the Verna storyline ends though with Jack is very confused because he thought, wow, I was wrong. And then Verna shows up and, look what a great TV show we would make because I know how to push her buttons and all that stuff. And she says a couple of really odd things. The show will have laughter, tears, topless arguments, and infections caused by jacuzzi water.
It's the most Florida thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is Floridian to its core.
Well, and then she has a tattoo of a mermaid doing it with Captain Morgan. Like, just, and then, gosh, and she's just so messed up. She then pulls out just a $1 bill for Jack to try and convince him. And then, but it's okay because there's more in her under panties. Not underwear, not panties, not undergarments, under panties. Yeah, but then, so then I did like, though, how, like, Jack then goes to tell Jenna, and Jack just has a moment of, like, okay, maybe Jenna doesn't need to know about this. Like, because he sees that she's wearing the dead bird earrings, and Jack then decides to kind of protect Jenna, which I think is interesting. I don't think we've ever seen Jack, well, I guess he didn't really protect her, but there was in episode 2 or 3 of season 1 when he, the whole thing with the photograph of Jenna, and because she's happy about that. But he's literally going to pay Verna to be a mother at that point.
Yeah, no, I find it really interesting because he tends to really use Jenna, right? Oh, we need to be ready for in case there's a disaster. We'll have Jenna sing a song in short shorts. Like, oh, you have to do that. You know, he really uses her because she's so willing to be used. It's really fun to see him become a little protective of her at this point, that he like helps her because he has the mother of all mommy issues. So he really sympathizes with her.
Definitely, definitely. Excuse me.
So I really like Jenna's line about her mother once she comes around.
That's my
and
favorite
says,
line.
Could a bad mother have raised a daughter who was engaged to a congressman at 16?
a little too. That was timely in an unfortunate way.
Yeah.
Tina Fey does it again. Yeah.
Hey, I didn't know this was an Alabama-based show.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so Verna gets $3,000 a visit and a rain tarp for her washer and dryer. I mean, her washer and dryer outside?
My washer and dryer are outside.
Like completely outside?
Yeah, completely outside.
But under a...
Oh, well, they're underneath like
it's
a...
It's like a shared washer dryer?
No, it's just... It was built in the 60s. And
it's in the back patio.
It's in the back patio.
All right. Okay, fair. I was just like, a washer dryer outside.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here like, wouldn't that break it? And I guess the whole point of washer dryer is to deal with water.
Yeah.
So maybe not. But I'm sitting here like...
But I don't think the electronic parts on top are supposed to get water.
Yeah,
We've been told multiple times that they no longer are under warranty because we put them outside and they, whatever. But
so you need a tarp is what you're saying. That,
and $3,000 every time I visit my son. So.
I like how low the price is because like for...
Jack could have tripled that and been fine.
Like he's got the kind of money where he could do, you know, huge amounts and he could probably write it out of NBC's budget.
Oh,
because, you know, it's
off.
Like a, and so she's like, $3,000. And he's like, all right.
Right.
You got me.
Oh, but my gosh. We have a couple of Frank hats in this episode. We've got a bunch, actually. We've got Mason Storm. Mind the Gap.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm. Pound for Pound. Busway. And then there's a flashback of Frank that you can't see what the front of it says. But there's a flashback and he's wearing a hat as well. They kind of like eased up on Frank hats for I feel like all of season 3. It was just one, maybe two, and now we've had a couple of good chunks of Frank hats in there, which I like a lot. This was kind of funny though, because Frank's whole thing was that he comes in early and he gets in his coffee, and he's kind of upset that Kenneth is infringing on that. But in the second time Kenneth comes in and like sits down with Pete, literally the rest of the cast walks in 10 seconds later.
Yeah,
so Keith. Kenneth, man, really didn't affect him that much. But then we learn that his new release is a Fight Club. Is that what it kind of ends up
being? Yeah, like a street fight club.
Yeah, almost like, all right, go.
I feel so alive.
Just poor Pete. Always poor Pete.
And he's got very weak arms. When he tries to shove the donut in her mouth, and she goes, man, you have really weak arms.
So it probably doesn't help him with the Fight Club.
Yeah,
probably
not.
Doesn't. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think if there are any other major storyline related things. Any favorite? Oh,
did you say the Mind the Gap hat?
Yeah.
Cool. I just wanted to note that. I like the Mind the Gap hat. That's all. This is what I'm contributing right now. Did you guys have any other moments in this episode that really spoke to you? Like either we'll get to lines in a minute, but any jokes or any themes that you thought were super funny?
I like the insight into Kenneth and what he thinks is interesting, like the stories he's telling about like. So I had a friend. His name is Mr. Wiggles. And the cats, so like you would think Mr. Wiggles would be the cat's name. But
it's a great joke. There's a couple turns in that one.
I have a friend with a cat. His name is Mr. Wiggles, and his cat's name is. And you just think it's like the story that like a 5-year-old tells you, and you're like, this is dumb, but I can't say anything about it because their parents will be offended. So like, yeah, that's a good point, kid.
Which dog does have
a tail?
Which is all of Kenneth's stories. Yeah, right?
It was great. Kenneth moments in those little the hand with the fingers or whatever that was.
And one of Kenneth's.
I remember there was a kid in our church, Billy, who did that. He was the first person who ever did that to me when he goes to shake your hand and they like move their. Oh, it's the weirdest.
It's gross. Classic Verna.
Classic Billy.
So one of Kenneth's stories, at least to me, kind of hinted at his real age. Because he was talking about Match Game, which was on like in the early 70s or maybe late 60s. And
ironically hosted by Alec Baldwin now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
That's right. I forgot about
that.
Full circle.
Never mind. Somebody was just talking about it here at work about Match Game with Alec Baldwin. And I was like, I don't. It was Brad. I don't remember who it was. Anyway, sorry. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I loved. Oh, I do love that when Jack is trying to help Jenna and talking about no, and he's like, this word is your best friend. She's like, best friend with benefits? Like, of course, that's where
yes.
Jenna, that's what she thinks of when she thinks of best friends. Oh, gosh.
Any other jokes or moments, guys?
No.
The no thing, we just bought a car yesterday. And so I was, you know, I was like, after watching this, I was like, I need to remember to say no to deals I don't like because, you know, so I was like, I just thinking out the little training. I was like, no, thank you. But I wasn't saying yes and buying the car. It didn't work, but it was good training. So I felt.
I literally was just telling somebody was like, what are your New Year's resolutions? And I never do that. But I was like trying to think about it. And I was like, oh, my, I want to learn how to say no. Right. Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, you need to learn how to say no more often. And I think not more often, just you need to say no correctly, whether it's no, like, I don't want to do that, or like no to helping somebody. Because I think sometimes you just can get overwhelmed. And I was like, I don't want to say no more. I want to say no correctly. I think was what I wanted to try and figure out how to do.
That's a really wholesome note to wrap things up on, y'all. Learning to say no correctly.
Kelsey's very deep.
Well, my next question that I actually did want to ask you guys is, so a lot of this episode is like, what's your release, your sort of thing? What do you guys do when you're just, I'm done, I need something, if I don't do this? Like, do you guys have anything that you do?
I play a lot of cell phone games. Like, the stupider, the better. And so I think it's just, it takes my mind off of stuff. So, yeah.
I make Star Wars prequel memes on Reddit.
Classic Kevin.
That's amazing. Oh, man. Do you have anything, Ron?
I think some video games, I play a lot of Titanfall 2 on the Xbox. It's a really fast-paced first-person game, and then I like playing with my dog. I got a dog named Buddy, and it's really relaxing just to go, because he'll play fetch all day long. He's a lab, and so I just go in the backyard and just play fetch for a while, and it's a real way to mellow out.
I like that. What do you do, Kimmy?
I watch Great British Bake Off, or I watch Cheers.
Oh, you would.
It's very much a lot. It's a lot of Cheers right now. I'm in season 3, guys. Frasier's here, so it's really good.
I like that. I think my default is I drive. That's what I do. That's my clear my brain, clear my air sort of a thing. Favorite lines from this? I think, are we there at this point?
Yeah.
I got one. I like mothers. You can't kill them.
No second half.
Nothing else. Just her like waiting for it. It's so delightful. I love it. I think I also love that bit where he's explaining that Colleen, the one time she was nice, she had a tumor pushing on the pleasure center of her brain.
Whack doctors.
Dear Lord, it's so funny.
So I really liked Liz's line towards the end where she said, "You didn't believe in me, but I believed in myself, just like the last scene of all movies."
Like that.
I like the your arms are so weak. I don't know, that just was funny to me because he's trying to like shove something in her face, and you would expect her to be like, "Don't shove something in my face," or something that'd be an appropriate response. And it was just like, "Your arms are so weak."
I like that.
I wrote down as my quote, it was the entire song of "Do That to Me One More Time," because I loved that. I thought it was hilarious.
So disturbing. My two favorite lines, I have when Liz and P Pete, or no, sorry, Liz and Frank are there. This is what we're doing now. We're going to be healthy, blah, blah, blah. And Frank says, and I took the elevator all the way up here without losing my breath. And then I also loved Jack talking to Jenna and saying, it is amazing how she has made a 180. And Jenna's response is, it's even better. She's made a full 360. Oh, poor Jenna and Verna.
Surprisingly true.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you say your favorite line, Kimmy? I don't think you did. Maybe you did. What was your favorite line? Oh, mothers you can't get. Sorry. I was listening. I promise. Cool. I think that does it for this episode. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I think that's probably it. Let's remind people or tell them for the first time where people can find your podcast, find social media, do the whole tell people where they can find you guys.
Okay. Yeah. You can find us at allthetimepod.com. And
on Instagram and Twitter at allthetimepod. And if you're going to tweet at us, use the hashtag allthetimepod.
There's iTunes, Stitcher.
iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find your podcast, wherever you downloaded this one. Well, if you downloaded on Boardwalk Audio, probably you can't find us. But other than that, if you didn't, you could probably find us on that list.
Cool.
And I'd also just like to say, I just moved, so I should be at home helping my wife unpack. Since I'm not, I wanted to plug her comic strip that she does.
Ooh, do it.
It's MrsHComics.com or Facebook.com/Mrs. H Comics, and my wife's a teacher, so it's about a teacher. And
Your last name doesn't start with an H, is this?
No, her first name's Heather, so okay, that's where it comes from. And so it's things that are taken from what kids really said, either in her class or other teachers' classes. So it's pretty good.
That's amazing. I will be looking that up, and we'll make sure to share that link. That's amazing. Well, thanks, Mrs. Flessing, for letting Kevin come out to play. Awesome. You can find our podcast every place at Talk30RockToMe, Instagram, Twitter. Send us emails, talk30rocktome@gmail.com. Follow us, subscribe, leave us reviews. We'll send you a sticker. Kimmy, where can people find you?
At Kimchi Lucas. That's all you need.
You can find me at Redheaded Blonde at all of the places. And I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Guys, you're a hoot and a half. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Lovely. Thanks. All right. Well, bye, Kelsey.
Bye, Kimmy.
For more information and shows, visit BoardWalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.